Hey, glad that you're here. In case we haven't met, I'm Lee. I'm the lead pastor here at Mercy Vineyard. And let's put our vision statement up. Let's say it together. This is what we're all about. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That's what we're all about. We're a church on a mission. We are not, have never been, and never will be a church that's just simply a gathering place for believers. You can do that anywhere. We're a church on mission, and I was so excited. Last Wednesday night, man, we were on mission. We must have given away 200, almost 300 hot dogs. It was crazy. We gave out a 32-gallon barrel full of candy. It was just a great time. The neighborhood came through here, and thank you guys who showed up to help out and do games and serve cocoa and serve hot dogs and pass out candy. We love our neighborhood, and it's the one day of the year where we get the most interaction with our neighbors. And it is just so much fun. And so thank you. Halloween was a blast. This morning, what we're doing is we are starting a new four-part series called Unbreakable. And now everybody has the Kimmy Schmidt sound song in their head now, right? Unbreakable. But it's called Unbreakable, and what we're doing is we are talking about creating the conditions in our lives where we can stand against the storms and the struggles and just kind of the downright attacks that come into your life. Can I tell you, if there's one guarantee in your life right now, doesn't matter how old you are, one guarantee, I'm going to tell you something, you can count on these words, you can take them to the bank. Hard times are going to come. Right, we just went through a series called Crap Happens. Crap's going to happen. Crap's going to happen whether you like it or not. That's a guarantee. You could take it to the bank. Jesus said, in this world you're going to have trouble, right? You are going to face trouble. It's a guarantee. And storms are going to come and all that stuff. Before we really get into this, I want to show you a quick video. I want you guys to watch this little video from a little news station in Florida. Check this out.
America is still far away. Community leaders say one part of Palm Beach County is the most unprepared for a tropical storm or a hurricane.
New at 5:30, News Channel 5's Brian Anton shows us why even a weak storm could cause major devastation in the Glades.
Our community is not ready to handle devastation. We haven't recovered from the last hurricanes.
Pastor Patty Opperly at First United Methodist Church says Pahokee is not ready for Erica.
I'm really worried about these folks.
On almost every street in Pahokee.
Can you tell me that house is going to sustain?
You see roofs already caving in, homes held up by plywood, and trailers everywhere.
FEMA trailers, several FEMA trailers.
That's right, FEMA trailers still here from when Hurricane Wilma caused major devastation 10 years ago.
They're already damaged. These homes are already leaking. They're already shifted off their foundation.
For the first time ever, Pahokee now has its own hurricane shelter at the middle school, capable of withstanding a Category 5 storm.
If we have a big one, we've got place to go.
Okay, a couple of things. Four rooms that are available.
If a storm like Erica hits, Pastor Patty is ready to turn the church into a distribution center.
Whether there be water, canned goods, diapers, cleaning supplies, mops, brooms.
The people here have seen the devastation before, but sadly, many still have not recovered from the storm damage a decade ago.
So that new Pahokee hurricane shelter that you saw at the middle school can hold 975 people, but community leaders worry there are more people than that without a safe place to go. If Erica becomes more of a threat, that is when the disaster plans will go into effect. In the newsroom, Brian Enton, WPTV News Channel 5.
All right. Isn't that interesting? Let me ask you a question. If you could talk to the people that live in Pahokee, besides telling them you should just move away from Pahokee, what sort of advice would you give them? You know, what advice would you give the people of Pahokee? Would you tell them nothing? Would you say, hey, what would you do? Dig a basement, fortify your house, get a foundation, yeah, get a plan, maybe? How about that? Maybe get some new windows. Fix that roof, have a safe place to go. Just recently, Hurricanes Florence and Michael, they hit our southern states, and they caused $45 billion in damage. $45 billion. You guys, can I just say, in case you're wondering, maybe you're not good with money, $45 billion is a pantload of money. It's a massive amount of money, that kind of damage. It's just huge. And a lot of that damage happened to homes with no flood insurance at all. So there's a whole lot of people that are just out of luck, basically, after all that. Can I just tell you, if you want one big takeaway this morning, take this away with you. Don't wait for disaster to strike to get ready for it. Because isn't that what a lot of us do? You know, we wait till we see the storm clouds come, until it's totally inevitable, and that's when we start to get ready for it. Don't wait for disaster to strike to get ready for it. You don't wait until you actually see the tornado in your backyard before you get in the basement, do you? It's like, no, we're all good until, we're good until it hits the property line. Okay, there's a certain type of, there are some people who go up on the roof, yeah. Not.
Over here.
Yeah, yes. We call those people cuckoo. You don't wait until you're really sick to strengthen your immune system, do you? I mean, I know a lot of people, they don't take care of their bodies at all until all of a sudden they got the flu and it's like, I got to take more C. Why weren't you doing that before, right? You don't wait until you're sick till you strengthen your immune system. You don't wait until you run out of money to get a job. I know, like, everybody in this room right now, you have names going through your head, don't you? I can feel it. I can feel it. You're like, oh, well, that's not what my brother-in-law does. You don't sign up for a bodybuilding competition and then start working out, right? Got a bodybuilding competition next week. Well, I'm going to sign up for it and then start working out. You don't do that. Right? You do it in advance. But for some reason, when it comes to really the most important things in our life, that's what we do. I mean, if we're really honest, the most important things in our life, we wait until it's at our doorstep before we start to prepare. Right? Why would you wait until you're in a crisis to start praying? Think about that. I mean, most people, they don't pray until all of a sudden there's a crisis upon them. And then they go ask somebody to pray for them, and then they start praying, right? There's the old saying, there's no atheists in foxholes. It's because most people wait to get into a foxhole, wait until they're in the middle of a battle, that's what that expression means, and then they start praying. Why would you wait until you're just totally desperate for wisdom to start reading Scripture? All of a sudden, you know, life is falling down around me, and I just desperately need wisdom. I better open my Bible. Why would you wait until you get to that point to open your Bible? That's like living in Pahokee. And waiting until the storms come, until another hurricane comes, and then you're up on your roof trying to patch up the roof while the winds are blowing. You wouldn't do that. That's silly, right? Why would you wait until you're just about to lose everything before you start to worship God? But that's what a lot of us do. And Jesus warns against this kind of thinking in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 11. And here he's telling a story to encourage people to be ready for when he comes back. And I don't know about you, but I think that when Jesus returns, it's going to be a big deal. I think it's going to be a really big deal when he comes back. And I don't think it's something that I want to wait until he actually comes back to be ready for. I want to be ready now, and it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be wonderful. It says, then the kingdom of heaven, and he's talking about being ready for when he comes back, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish. Everybody say foolish. Five of them were wise. Everybody say wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps. But the five who were wise took along extra oil. Isn't that great? A little extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." Restraining comments on today's culture. right? Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to the shop and buy some for yourselves." I love that Jesus is calling these people wise. Okay. Refrain, restrain, restrain. Okay. Go to the shop and buy some for yourselves. But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return." I know that in this instance, Jesus is talking about being ready for his return. But listen, the time to get our hearts ready, the time to get ready for his return is now. It's now. It's yesterday, and it's today, and it's now. It's not waiting until later. And just like every other big event in our lives, waiting until it's too late just isn't wise. Would you agree with that? Waiting until it's too late, it's just not wise. It's just not wisdom to wait until it's too late. But Jesus wants us to seek him now, right? Jesus wants us to learn from him now. Jesus wants us to serve others and walk with him in intimacy and to enjoy him and experience him and to grow in our faith now, not later, you know. And waiting is just not wise. And there's four ways that we create the conditions in our lives to be ready when storms come. And that's really what this series is about. It's about kind of creating those conditions in our lives so that we can stand, so that we can be unbreakable when things come, when trials come, when hard times come. And again, you know, we just kind of went through crap happens and we talked about just, you know, sort of why crap happens and what should our response be. And really what this is all about is sort of being unbreakable when crap happens. And unbreakable because, you know what, that's how I want you to be. As your pastor, I want you to be unbreakable. I want you to stand. I want you to be on a solid foundation. I want you to have a strong house and a repaired roof. I want you to walk in wisdom and walk in the presence of God because crap is going to happen. Storms are going to come. And that I want you to be strong and I want you to be able to stand. And so the practice that I want to talk about this morning, and I know we talked about this a little bit last week, and I want to stretch that out a little bit. I want to go into it a little bit deeper, and that's prayer. Because prayer is the thing that will help you stand. If we could all get a grasp of how powerful prayer really, 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 really is, none of us would ever see prayer as some sort of religious homework assignment ever again. Like if we could just kind of grasp really how important prayer is. I mean, you think about Jesus, all God, all man. What did he do all the time? He prayed. And if it was important for Jesus to pray, and we watch his life of prayer, man, how much more so even should it be in our DNA, in who we are, you know? You wouldn't see a human living body that's not breathing, would you? I think when it comes to Christians, it should be said of the same, that you would never see a Christian who doesn't pray, because it should be as natural as breathing. It should be, it's because it's just that vital to us. And so there's a lot of Christians that I know who, who just are just swept away, man. They're just blown around by everything. It's like they walk in crisis to crisis and devastation to devastation. And they're just not praying. And so I want to talk about this morning. Hey, let's say a prayer real quick. God, we love you and we need you and we thank you for your goodness and we thank you for prayer. And I ask God that this morning you would help us to grasp and to get a revelation of how powerful prayer is and how vital it is. And I'm not talking, God, about vital as a religious exercise, but vital as in its life. It's like air, God. And so, Lord, give us a revelation of your word. Let it be transformational to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I want to take just a quick look about Jesus. He was talking about prayer in the book of Luke, okay? And it's in chapter 11, verses 2 through 4, and verses 9 and 11. And Jesus says this, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive and what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. If you remember one thing this morning, remember this, that prayer is this ongoing. Prayer is the ongoing foundation of an unbreakable spirit. And why do I use that strange word? Because we talk about prayer is the foundation of an unbreakable spirit. Prayer is the ongoing. And it's because of this. It's a mistake if we believe that you can just sort of pour a foundation of prayer in your life and be done praying. So I used the word ongoing here. Because as we pray, it strengthens, it builds that foundation, it creates that foundation and that strength in our life. And so I didn't want to use just the word foundation because I didn't want anybody here to think that, you know, I prayed a prayer and it built a foundation, I'm good. Because, you know, that would be silly. That would be like, you know what, I had one date with my wife, that's it, and we're good. You know, you would never think that. I mean, imagine that, how like silly that would be. Like, hey, my wife and I, we had one date. We had our wedding. We had our honeymoon. It was amazing. We don't need to continue to work on our relationship. How many wives here would walk out maybe or get a little upset if that was your husband's attitude? Yeah. I know my wife, a couple of honest wives here. The rest of you just are too tired to raise your hand. But, you know, prayer is this, it's this ongoing foundation. And so imagine if you build a house without first pouring a foundation. Wouldn't that be silly if you built a house without pouring a foundation? I mean, unless you live in Haiti, that's kind of silly. Even in Haiti, they could use some foundations. Come on, everything comes along. They get devastated every other week. what's that? Yes, see? And or what if you decided you're going to take some graduate-level courses, but you never took the undergrad material? I don't need that. I'm just going to take some graduate-level stuff. You know? And so you would be very confused. It wouldn't go very well. And so you need to pour that foundation. And prayer, what it does is it really deepens our faith. It strengthens our relationship with God. Prayer is the thing. If you know, it's a lot of people are like, I don't feel how other people feel. Other people say, oh, they feel like this friendship with God. They feel this closeness, this intimacy with God. And and then you go, well, how's your prayer life? Well, how do you expect to feel close to God without that relationship, without prayer? How do you expect to feel that relationship, that closeness, that knit together with God without it? And so it strengthens our relationship with God. It also helps us to discern the Lord's will. You know, how many times are we in a place in our lives where we go, I need to know what the Lord wants. What is God's will? I need God's direction. I need the Holy Spirit to lead me. You know, that's going to happen through prayer. It's going to happen. It's not going to happen just by excluding prayer and then, you know, asking a friend to pray for you once because you really need discernment. That's important, and friends love to pray for you, and our prayer team is awesome that way. Can I just encourage you? Be praying on your own too, right? Be praying. Keep that relationship going. It's an ongoing foundation that you're building. It leads us to wisdom, and it helps to keep our minds on the kingdom. Can I just tell you, we are bombarded by temporal distractions. We live in a world where I think we are more distracted and more bombarded with temporal things that just really don't matter more than any other time in history. I mean, man, we've got multiple forms of social media. We've got ads targeted for us. We have email. We have television. We're bombarded by things that are temporal. And prayer helps to keep our minds on the kingdom and keep our minds on things that are eternal. And when we are able to just spend some time talking with the Lord and spending time in prayer, it helps to keep our minds on the kingdom when uncountable temporal distractions are just clamming for our attention. And wouldn't you rather have your mind just on the eternal, on the things that matter, on the things that are going to last? Isn't that more important to you, right? And so prayer helps to keep our minds on the eternal. The other thing is like research, scientifics. So those of you who are like, yeah, but what about the science? I'm not mocking you with that voice. I was just mocking you with that voice. Well, what about the science? The science is that prayer has been proven to reduce anxiety. Wouldn't you rather live with less anxiety? It produces peace. Prayer also has been found to increase energy levels. So those of us who maybe struggle with low energy levels, prayer has been proven to increase energy levels. What a great thing. So God knows that prayer is good for us in every area of our life. And, it's best just to live this way of prayer with less anxiety, with more peace, with a kingdom mindset. It's better to live that way before the storms come, right? Yeah, before the storms come, not just to scramble to get these things when a crisis comes. Because isn't that what we do most of the time? A crisis comes, and so we scramble for some peace, we scramble for some answers, we scramble for some direction. Why not already have those things before the storm comes? Okay? And so we don't want to live like the people in Florida, right? We want to get our house ready before the storms come and not have to run to a shelter because we weren't ready. And so what are some kind of practical things that we can learn from Jesus in Luke 11? When we get alone to pray, how do we do? You ever wonder that? You're like, well, how do I do personal prayer then? How do I do that? Because I know, let's just be honest. It's not like a class taught in high school, right? How do you pray? How do you get alone with God for a little bit and pray? We're gonna just kind of cover a couple things really quick. We're gonna get into the practicals of this as we wrap this up. And so when Jesus told his disciples, he said, this is how you should pray. And what did he start with? Praise. So the first thing is, take a minute to praise God. So if you're like, I'm going to get alone today, when I leave here today, I'm going to go home, and instead of turning on the game, instead of taking a nap, even though today is the perfect day for a nap, I'm going to spend 20 minutes alone in prayer. Take just a minute to praise God, okay? He said, may your name be kept holy. It was the first thing Jesus said in his prayer when he said, this is how you should pray. Jesus told his disciple, may your name be kept holy. This is what you should say. Praise gets our focus off of ourselves and onto God. One of the healthiest things that you can do when you're struggling with anxiety, when you're going through a challenge, is to kind of get your focus off of yourself for a minute. Because we are all experts on ourselves, aren't we? We are so good at focusing on ourselves. So good. But praise helps to get our focus off of ourselves and on to God. And praise invites God's presence. And praise has like a renewing quality to it. It refreshes us. Praise fosters an atmosphere for miracles when we begin to praise God. Just like Paul and Silas in Acts 16. They got thrown in prison. They were put in chains. And what did they do? They praised. Exactly. They didn't kind of whine about and bemoan their circumstance. I don't know, maybe they did, but they still praised, I don't know if they did or not. Scripture doesn't say. It just says that they praised. They began to sing, in the night. And So praise creates this atmosphere that fosters miracles. And, you know, hey, just take a minute. Go on Spotify. Do a little search. Do like house fires or something good. Do just, you know, some good worship music and just put on a song and sing with it. Just praise God. If you're a musician, bust out your guitar and sing your favorite desperation song. You know, just bring it out and just spend a minute to praise God or 5 minutes to praise God, okay? And then the next thing is examine your heart. Take a minute to just examine your heart. Ask God to forgive you, to kind of wash you. We all kind of gather things. We all do dumb things. We all sin. You know, the scripture tells us basically, if you claim to be without sin, it says you deceive yourself, right? So in other words, you know, if you claim to be without sin, you're living a lie. You're just lying to yourself. All that is, and in fact, if you can get before God and you can say, God, I am without sin, I would say that the biggest sin that you're struggling with at that moment is pride. Because pride, one of the trickiest things with pride is that pride keeps you from seeing your sin. That's the tricky part about pride. Isn't that weird? Pride keeps you from seeing your sin. And so just kind of get before God, examine your heart, and just say, God, you know what? Today's a great day for you to make me new. Just forgive me. And it deepens your relationship with God. Repentance deepens your relationship with God because it allows you to be 100% completely honest with someone, and it's God. And it deepens our relationship with God and allows us to receive His grace and allows us to receive His love. What just wonderful things. And that's the great thing about when we go before God and we go with a heart and an attitude of repentance, what we receive from God is grace. We don't receive, you know, well, I forgive you, but I'm just really disappointed. Unfortunately, many of us have received that from people that we admired and led us in the past. And so we tend to attach those things to God. Listen, if that's what you experienced in the past from your parents, or that's what you experienced in the past from spiritual leaders or whatever, that's not what you're going to get from God. And so, God, we get grace. We get love from God. I love it. He never runs out. He never runs out. Aren't you glad that God never runs out of grace for us? Whew! Man, y'all ought to be glad that I'm not God, because I would have ran out of grace for y'all a long time ago. So, you know, God... Bill, take that part out of the podcast. God never runs out of grace. He never runs out of love for us. And I'm just so glad that none of us are in that role of God. That God is God, and we are not. So it helps to clear our conscience. It helps us to resolve personal conflict. You know, when we have unrepentant sin in our lives, we have conflict within us, and that's not a good way to live. You know, we don't walk in peace then. And so it fosters humility. It fosters humility to repent. And, you know, just take a minute for self-reflection. Ask the Lord to forgive you, okay? And so the next thing is this. When we just a little bit of time with the Lord is just pray what you have need of, right? And it's just simple. Just simple. We all have needs. You know what? I've had a lot and I've had a little. But in both cases, I've had needs. All right, so it doesn't matter. You will always have a need in your life until you get to heaven. And so just pray for what you have need of. And you know what? Don't worry if you've already prayed it 100 times. I think that we tend to imagine God as this sort of impatient, you know, tired of hearing the same thing from us all the time. And I've actually heard people have told me that. God just must be sick of me asking for the same thing all the time. Or God must be sick of me bringing the same need over and over and over again. Hey, don't worry about it. And don't worry if it sounds silly. There's no such thing as a silly prayer, right? We were talking about this earlier. My kids, growing up, you know, used to draw me pictures all the time. And what's cool is every once in a while, one of the kids here will draw me a picture. So I've gotten pictures from Olivia. I got a picture this morning from Clara. It was so cute. Yes, I don't know why it was all cut out. It was all cut up. There's a bunch of holes cut in it. So she must have been learning to use the scissors, but it was awesome. My kids, they used to draw me like houses. They loved to draw houses growing up and superheroes. Man, Cole used to draw me superheroes in the fashion of like Jack Kirby, classic 60s superheroes. And can I just tell you something? My kids have never, ever, ever brought me a bad drawing. Not once. And it doesn't matter how out of proportion it was. It doesn't matter how bad outside of the lines that were colored. It doesn't matter if one eye was up here and one eye was down here and the mouth was teeny tiny. It doesn't matter. They never brought me a single bad drawing. Why? Because I love them. Because I love them. In fact, I've got a stack of drawings that they have drawn me over the last 20 years in a box. I've kept them. And in the same way, you can never, ever, ever bring God a bad prayer. Never. You never have to worry about sounding silly. You never have to worry that you said Father God 500 times. It doesn't matter that you said the word just 80 times. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you forgot to say, in Jesus' name. It doesn't matter. You can never bring your Father, God, a bad prayer. You don't have to worry, okay? Just pray for what you have need of, all right? So don't worry about it. Just go to the Father and pray, okay? And so the next thing is, after we've kind of prayed for what we have need of, pray for other people in need. So, like, the Christianese word to this is intercession. You're going to God on behalf of somebody else, and you're praying for somebody else's need. Okay? Other people are in need of your prayers. They are. People are hurting, man. People need your prayers. Our city is in need of your prayers. Our nation's leaders are in need of our prayers. You know what we should start doing? Every time we see one of those idiotic political posts on Facebook, we ought to just take a minute to pray for our nation. I think if we did that, like, it would probably, increase the prayers going up for our nation's leaders 1,000-fold. You know, if we just, every time we saw something, and if every time we were tempted to comment on or post something, instead we just stopped and we prayed. We prayed for our Congress, and we prayed for our president, and we prayed for our neighbor. And every time we want to complain about our district aldermen or, whatever, stop and pray. Our nation needs our prayers. Our city needs our prayers. Our family needs our prayers. And so our prayers move the hand of God, right? They move the hand of God. And so we have the privilege of actually being able to write history with our prayers, okay? And so pray for others. And then the next thing is, like I mentioned before, don't stress about doing it wrong. Don't stress about doing it wrong, okay? Prayers have more to do with the heart than the words. God reads our hearts. He sees our hearts. Be confident that no matter how you feel, God loves your prayers no matter what. God loves your prayers no matter what. Gosh, we need to be delivered from a religious mindset, don't we? Don't worry about it. Just pray, okay? And then the last thing is this, be persistent. Be persistent. Be persistent. Be persistent, okay? Luke 11:9, Jesus says, and so I tell you, keep on asking. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open for you. Jesus didn't say, submit a trouble ticket, and we'll get support on it. It's not like that. You know, it's not like we submit a request. You know, we put in the paperwork, look, I submitted the green copy, the blue copy, and the goldenrod copy. I kept the white copy for myself. I submitted it to tech support. You know, it's not like that. He says, keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. And so prayer is meant to be a progressive action. It's one that just keeps on taking place. And so if there's one quality I would love to see all of us develop in our prayer lives, it's the quality of persistence. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep praying, right? So what do you do when the insurance company loses your important paperwork? How many times do we pray? We don't just pray once, right? We keep on praying. What happens when you have a child that's not walking with God and you're concerned about the direction of their life? You just pray once. You keep on praying. And what happens when you're struggling with a chronic illness? Do you just pray once? No, you just keep on praying. What happens when you have been struggling with finances for the last year and a half? Do you just pray once? No, you keep on praying. It's persistence. And so pray often. Pray every day. Pray no matter what kind of mood you're in. Should you let your moods determine your prayer? Thank you. Thank you. I didn't even have to say yes or no there. Y'all just knew. No. Right? So you don't let your moods. If we pray only when we have the energy and we're in the mood to pray, we'll be the worst prayer people ever. Right? I mean, okay. So, pray often. Pray. And you know what? The next time, here's what I've noticed, that when my prayer life is really strong, when a storm comes along, it feels a lot more like a breeze than a storm. Have you ever, you know, like, I've known people with great prayer lives, and I've watched them go through crisis. And I've watched them, like, so confident that God is in control. So confident that what the enemy meant for evil, God will use for good. So confident. And you know, I know who's praying because they're not falling apart, right? And hey, there are times that we fall apart, man. When you have a real tragedy strike, we fall apart. But they keep the faith. And they're not despairing. They're not giving up. And so I find that when my prayer life is strong, storms feel like a breeze and a lot less like a hurricane. And I, you know what I found? The inverse is true. That I've known people who cannot seem to bring themselves to pray. And when a breeze comes along, it feels like a storm. Right? And maybe you've been there. I've been there before, where I've gone through a season in my life, prayer's not so good, and some dumb little thing happens, and I'm like out for a day or two. Right? Someone didn't look at me just right. Okay? And now I'm all bummed out for the next 2 days. But when I'm in persistent prayer, consistent prayer, when I'm praising, when I'm interceding, when I'm bringing my needs to God, and I'm not worried about doing it right, and a storm comes along, it feels like a breeze. I'm all right. I'm all right because my foundation is strong. I've got a good roof over my head. The frame of my house is solid. And so pray. Pray, 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 pray. So what we're going to do today, we're going to praise. We're going to close with a little bit of praise. But I really want to challenge you to build a foundation of prayer. Even if it's 5 minutes. You know, on average, they say that the average person who uses Facebook, and there's well over a billion people who use Facebook now, they're on it for like 20 minutes a day. I feel like with that sort of statistic, none of us have an excuse by saying, I have no time to pray. Is it okay for me to say? If you don't like that, that's okay. Take it up with the Lord. I didn't become your pastor so that I could be liked. But I hear that probably more than anything else is the whole I don't have time. I don't have time. But you know what? The truth of the matter is we have time for what's important to us. I mean, at the end of the day, we have time for what's important to us. I think if we all looked at our browser history and looked at our phones and, you know, thought about the time that we spend doing this or that, you know, we make time for what's important to us and we make excuses for what's not. And so a lot of us, let's just be honest, we make excuses why we don't pray, and it's probably because we're not comfortable or that seems boring or it feels like a religious homework assignment. But I'm just telling you right now, like I said in the beginning of the message, storms are going to come. Storms are going to come. Hard times are going to come. Do you want to be ready for them or not? You know, do you want to be the type of person who stands strong and other people can take shelter around you because you're standing strong? Or do you want to panic? You want to crumble? And so I really want to challenge you to be in prayer. Because storms, temptations, all those things are going to come. And maybe you don't have a daily or almost daily prayer habit. Start one. Start one today. Go home today and pray. You know, maybe you pray occasionally only in a crisis. Like I said, that's like trying to strengthen your immune system after you already get sick. Don't do that. Watch. Watch your faith grow. Watch yourself become more unbreakable. Watch yourself, because you're going to look back and you're going to go, wow, this storm that's in my life today would have devastated me a year ago. I'm so glad I picked up that habit of prayer, right? This thing that's going through my life right now would have devastated, 6 months ago, man, I would have crumbled. And so you will watch your faith grow and watch yourself get stronger. And so if our worship team would go ahead and come, and we're going to just close with a little bit of praise. Yeah. Why don't we all stand? Let's say a prayer together. Now that our bottoms are sufficiently sore, and hopefully inspired to pray, let's pray together. God, we need you. And we, God, you have given us prayer as a way of connecting with you, as a way of allowing you to strengthen us. And prayer allows us to stand. And God, I thank you that you challenge us. You challenge me, God, every day to just spend some time with you. And I ask, God, that we would be a people of prayer. Let just a spirit of prayer sweep over this place. Jesus said, my Father's house will be a house of prayer. God, we want to be people of prayer. God, I can think of no quality that I would want more for this church than for it to be a place of prayer and for us to be people of prayer. And God, I thank you that you draw us in. You draw us to you. And God, as we move closer to you, your word says that you move closer to us. As we move near to you, you move near to us. In fact, God, your word says that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. You are a rewarder of those who pray. God, help us to be those people who diligently seek you. Pray with persistence. We pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for challenging us on this. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing conviction to my heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We praise you.